1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Good morning, Woodstock Christian Church. It's so good to see all you guys this morning. It is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day. My dad's up there. If he messes anything up today, I can't yell at him. So there's that. But it's also important today that we recognize our Heavenly Father. So that is why we are here. We're going to worship him. So if you will bow your heads in prayer with me this morning, we'll go ahead and get that service started. Dear God, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you give to us. Thank you for your protection throughout our everyday lives. Thank you for the just the entire inhabit and be here for you in your name as we spread your word and we worship you and we live our lives for you. Thank you for what you do and thank you for this day that we can come and worship you. So be with us today as we do that. In your name, amen.
1, 2, 4, 5, 6. Hardly speak, be so.
You all may be seated.
Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers here. In Proverbs 22:6, start a child off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Luke 15, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Originated with God, our heavenly Father. And is a divine role and calling. Becoming a father, stepfather, grandfather, or foster father is a great opportunity to love like God, as God loves and cares for each and every one of us. God loves and supports all fathers as they raise and care for their children. As we reflect on the greatest and ultimate sacrifice that our Heavenly Father provided for each and every one of us, because He loves us without measure, He sent be buried and raised for the forgiveness of all sins, so that we may live forever with Him. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for taking us in as your children. Thank you for guiding and directing us. And most importantly, thank you for sending Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, so that we may live in heaven with you and be forgiven of our sins. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every Sunday, we have all that He provides. As we come around this time of offering, the way I look at it is it's a weekly Father's Day celebration. This is how we give our cards and our presents and our gifts and the proverbial tie that I didn't put on today back to our, He commands us to be obedient for His will and return a small sacrifice in return for all He has given us. There's many ways to give. You'll see them on the screen. But you can also give of your time and your talents through volunteer work, through helping further the kingdom of God. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for all of your blessings that you bestow upon us. Please bless the gift and the giver today and help everything to further your kingdom and bring more into the righteousness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. You know, it is a wonderful time to celebrate fathers, so I'll try to keep it short so you can beat all the rest of them to the restaurant. How's that sound? You know, I know that's important to you. So we're working our way through this series on questions, and today's question was one that, you know, just kind of, is believing enough? Is believing enough? How many of you have ever asked that question? You know, when the reason this came up is because there's some confusion there on whether there is any truth to believing versus works, more than just believing, because easy believism is something that's real. Some people believe, you simply need to believe. Well, let me ask you a question. Does the devil believe? Do the demons believe? Okay, so let's go from there. When one reads the letter to the Romans, and there may appear to be a contradiction. So I'm going to kind of compare the two for you today between Romans and James, and we're going to see if there's a contradiction or not. So let's start with Romans 4, where Paul writes, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? By works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, the one who works wages not credited as a gift to him, but as an obligation. In other words, if you work, you deserve to get paid. If you don't work, however, we live in a society, that's another sermon. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the one apart from works. Now, that scripture clearly teaches that we are justified by faith, right? By faith, not by works. None of you are ever going to be good enough. You get it? None of us. None of us are ever going to do enough or be good enough. But you see, a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now, not by faith alone. Now, Martin Luther, you've heard of Martin Luther, the Reformation movement. He saw the two passages as contrary to one another and concluded that James' letter was uninspired and shouldn't even be in the Bible. He called it vulgar and he didn't like it because it challenged his belief. I had a Baptist preacher friend of mine back in Virginia. He told me that it was obvious that Paul and James didn't agree, so Paul's gospel was more in line with the Spirit of Christ, so therefore we should just go with what Paul says. He didn't like being challenged either. And I agreed to still be his friend even after we disagreed. But many present-day denominations are embarrassed and perplexed by the teaching of James, because they don't know what to do with it. Because they want to tell everybody it's easy believing. Believe, believe, believe. But on the same fact, a lot of Christian churches seem equally embarrassed and frustrated by Ephesians 4. Because we say you should live like action in your faith. Well, here's the surprise I found this week as I was studying. You all like when I find surprises, don't you? Well, the fact remains that there's not any contradiction at all between Paul in Romans and James. They're actually in complete harmony. To see harmony, you've got to realize the words justification or justified has more than one meaning in the New Testament. Its meaning is primarily to be determined by its context and the Greek grammar of the passage. I know how much you all like to dig out your Greek and look at the grammar. Most of us don't. Much Greek grammar is a lot harder, believe it or not. So, Paul and James are not strictly speaking about the same topic. Paul and James are addressing two different phases of a person's spiritual journey. Paul in Romans 3 and 4 is talking about the ungodly sinner, and thereby accepted by God. He is justified and God has accepted him as the sinner that he is. James, however, is talking to somebody who's further along in their walk. You need to keep working to show that you have been accepted by God. Same words, different phases of your journey. How many of you are in different phases of your journey than you were when you started? How many of you completely forgot where you were going? You see, James believes the same thing as Paul, and they're in harmony. You know, apparently there were Christians in the early church who took the position that biblical faith was simply believing or a possession or profession of. It's passive. It's just something you did at some point. You believed. You believed, or you trusted, not that you trust, but you trusted. That's not how that works. Going, it's that you always believe and you always trust and you live like it. That's what matters. They seem to have this belief that possessing mere belief was sufficient God's favor from day to day. And James teaches in chapter 2 that biblical faith shows itself in works. It shows it in what you do. It is believing God's word to the point that it will cause you to act upon it. Works demonstrate before all that you have. When you go out and you do something for Jesus, you're showing people that you really believe what you say you believe. Because there's a lot of people who say they believe, but they don't live like it. They just want to be a part of the crowd. Get a chance, they'll jump in the other crowd. You see what I'm saying? You know, like Paul, James uses Abraham to prove his point. James, in verse 23, I'm just going to show you these. James, in verse 23, we're going to start at the bottom. It's like that, you know. Paul supports the assertion that Abraham's faith was counted or credited as righteousness. It was Abraham's faith in God and his word that caused him to be a faithful. It's what he did. However, in verse 22, Abraham's faith was made complete or perfected when it led Abraham to perform works or acts of obedience. James brings to our attention that Abraham's obedience to God's command was to sacrifice Isaac. And he says Abraham was justified or considered righteous by what? This work or act of obedience. In other words, he proved it. Kind of like the proof is in the pudding, right? Some of you can't make pudding, even if it's instant. Well, your faith should be like the pudding. It should be there. It should be butterscotch, right? Yeah. So, you see, the proof is found, your faith is proved by what you do. You know, it does not mean that on the declared righteous and accepted by God. Because that's not where he's talking about here. He's not talking about this is where Abraham was saved. Because that happened all the way back in Genesis 15. And this sacrifice of Isaac didn't happen until Genesis 22 many years later. He's saying he's still showing. He's proven his faith many, many years later. It's hard to grasp this stuff sometimes. You know, Abraham's obedience demonstrated that he truly possessed the kind of faith that justifies, that proves who you really are, proves that you're a child of God. Abraham demonstrating his faith. In fact, having been accepted by God, he was expected by God to be obedient. We see that in Genesis 18:19, where he says, I have chosen him, Abraham, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon him. Now, how many of you are good at commanding your children to do anything? It's Father's Day, right? Kids are supposed to listen today, right? Good luck with that. But he lived the life that faith that his kids would want to follow. And he demonstrated it by doing righteousness. Therefore, faith without work. True biblical faith always is a working, active faith. It's always moving. It's never a passive thing of mere belief. Because even demons believe. We've already said that, right? But they don't receive God's approval. He doesn't approve of them. The devil believes. You think he's going to heaven? We know better than that. So is believing just it? No. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Because I want to show you something that the demons believe, but they don't have faith. They don't have faith. Faith, Abraham, when he was called, did what? Obeyed. You like that word, right? Yeah. Or verse 9, by faith, he lived as an alien. He went and lived with a bunch of strangers, people that didn't like him because he was different. He was tested, offered up Isaac, offered his son. Can you imagine? Who wrote the letter to the Hebrews? Who knows, right? There's a lot of speculation. A lot of people want to say Paul did, and a lot of people say Barnabas or Mark. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. But whoever wrote in Acts or works, because the important thing is God included it in his Bible, in his word, in his word. The Apostle Paul never taught that biblical faith was a mere belief or profession of belief. Never. To say that. But I think we have to take the whole Bible, right? All of it. You can't take just little bits and pieces of it and try to build your faith. You have to have it all. You have to have every piece of it. You know, Paul fully taught that biblical faith is active and living, a living thing that leads to obedience. Of the obedience of the faith in Romans 1:5 and 16:26. In Galatians, Paul says, faith working through love in Galatians 5:6. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul commends the churches for their work of faith. But I want to look at two passages that bring together all of this of Paul in Romans and James and show you how Paul and James that help us put into context the doctrines of faith and works in the Christian religion because they go together. And the first one's in Ephesians 2 where Paul says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Said that many times, haven't you? And this is not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's your purpose, right? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then Paul also writes in Titus 3, four verses. He says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, those are the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, thank goodness, right? Amen for mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that, having been just to become heirs to having the hope of eternal life. And this is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to stress these things. When Paul says that, you think you should listen? So that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Now, let me say this before I quit, because I'm going to quit early today. You ready for that? Huh? You really believe that? We need to remember that though we are to engage, they do not earn your way to heaven. You get that? That you will not earn your way to heaven. They will not cause you to merit eternal life. There's nothing you or I will ever do that will be good enough for us to deserve heaven. Does that mean we shouldn't try? No. That is going to be good enough. Jesus says in Luke 17:10, he says, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our what? Duty. Duty kind of sounds like doing something, doesn't it? I don't think our duty was just to sit in a chair on Sunday morning and drink crackers and grape juice and go out and live like we want to. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. So the question has been answered. Is it enough just to believe? No, it's not enough. Nowhere near enough. Conclusion. It means the way we live matters. The things we do matter. The language we use matters. Whether or not we serve matters. It's not enough to just to believe, it's a way of life. You see, we live in a world that feels like we gotta fight for our rights. What rights do you really have when it comes to your Lord and Savior? None. None. And if you got to sit and try to justify to God for the things you say, the things you do, the way you treat people, then you're way off base. Consideration, everybody around you, with every word you say, every action you take, and every dollar you spend, should take into consideration what people around you think about you and your relationship to Jesus. Because if you cause one person to stumble because to stand for your rights, I mean, really? Well, I've got a right to do that. The Bible doesn't say that's bad. Well, so-and-so said, well, I'm not going to be a Christian if they're going to act like that. How does that, I think that's going to work when you stand before Jesus. He gave up all his rights, didn't he? He gave them up to the point they nailed him to the cross. So what rights do we have? We have none. So here's the question. Here's the real demonstrate that you believe. Does it? Does your life demonstrate that you believe? Or are you simply giving God lip service and people lip service when you say, I believe in Jesus? Is it enough just to believe? No, it's the start of great changes in your life. Yes. Are you going to look up and say, I wish I'd have done something different? Yes. But the real answer should be, I'm going to do it differently now because I know better. I'm going to choose better because I know better. I'm going to choose Jesus over what I think my rights are. Jesus over myself. Does your life demonstrate that you believe? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We are so thankful for your love and your mercy. Opportunity to believe in something so wonderful, so amazing, that it changes our hearts and makes us better. Lord, help us to live our life in a way that demonstrates our faith, our belief. Lord, today when we celebrate our earthly fathers, may we look up and remember that as our heavenly Father, you gave your ultimate sacrifice. You know, we talk about Abraham almost sacrificing Isaac, but you did sacrifice your son because you loved us enough that you want to spend eternity with us. May the world see of our salvation by the way that we treat others and by the way that we behave as we ought, according to your will, not our own. And we know that wouldn't be possible without the blood that was shed on Calvary. That he was willing to be beaten and bleed so that we might have eternity with you. We pray it in his name. Amen. Now we offer our invitation. It's the offer to come forward and confess Jesus as Lord of your life. I believe Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and then go out and show people your faith. But most of you have already done that. Most of the people sitting in this room and watching on Facebook, you've done that. So what am I asking of you? What is God asking of you this morning as we sing this invitation? You to determine to live a life worthy of the name you call yourself, and that is Christian. If there's something you need to let go of, something hindering your walk with Jesus, something that has a hold on you and you just can't seem to let it go. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to pray about it. Maybe you just need to sit where you are and cry it out with Jesus. But whatever you got to do, don't wait. Don't wait. Because tomorrow may not come. And I would hate to not wake up tomorrow and stand before my in this world when I could have heaven waiting. answer the call of your Savior.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. His only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to wounds and some.
Amen. Now, I got just a couple of quick announcements. The first one is the Got Questions series. Keep questions coming. I've got some really tough ones coming, guys. I mean, they're going to be, I can't believe he preached on that. And I'm going to say, I can't believe it. Okay, that's what we're here for. Now, the other one is the Father's Day stuff out here. Donna and the 252 kids have put together a collection of stuff for you dads. This is a thing for you to go and get gifts if you're a dad, not a place for me to go Father's Day shopping for my dad. Or just if you're a guy that likes Vienna sausages or sardines. I noticed there's sardines over there. Now that's what I'm talking about. Sardines and hot sauce. You don't get any better than that. Then you can drink an energy drink and say, oh boy. Yeah, there's rope and duct tape and all kinds of stuff. We're going down a path we ought not to go. But I noticed that one table's all about work. I didn't even go over there. But seriously, I'll go over there and get you some stuff, all right? All right, guys, we're going to dismiss, but Dennis has got some stuff to...
You had a great message this morning, words of life and truth, and I thank you for that. And also, anybody who would eat sardines and wash it down with hot sauce or energy drinks needs more help than I can give them. But anyway, that's not my purpose to be a stand-up entertainer today. I don't do so well in that department. But I am here to talk to you as a reminder about the voting process that has opened up, about the name change, and the elders introduced that to you. Our purpose is in changing our name from Woodstock Christian Church to keeping the word Christian Church in there as part of that. You'll read the letter that I wrote to you. Should have come in your email. I launched it at 6:30 this morning, so if I woke you up, I guess I don't apologize. But anyway, if you did check your spam file or your junk file, because it could be in there, but there is a link on there. Click the link, and that will take you to Google Forms where you can cast your vote. Yes, you agree with the elders' proposal, or no, you do not agree with the elders' proposal. We'll keep that open until Saturday night, and then we'll present the outcome to you next Sunday morning. So just keep that as a matter of prayer. If you still have questions or concerns about that, you're certainly welcome to speak to your shepherding elder as we plan for what God has for teens. They're headed off on retreat this weekend. They're going up to Virginia. Great times with them and their sponsors. So pray for them. Pray that God opens their hearts and blesses them in a way that can only happen up in the mountains. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and care about us. We take time this morning, Lord, to examine ourselves and realize how literally unworthy we are of you. And we pray, Father, for your forgiveness. And we pray, Father, that you're as we go out of this place today, because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.
Thanks, guys. Good job.